You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this Monday, July 28th. We're going to take a look at illegal immigration, and we're talking about Connecticut, not exactly the first state you might think of. It has 3.5 million people. It's hardly among the largest states in the U.S. or has the largest illegal immigration population. But like so many places, so many states, it's struggling with the issue. In the absence of a federal policy, local governments are coming up with programs, creating a hodgepodge of inconsistent policies, and two different cities in Connecticut have come up with two very different strategies. And joining us with a study in contrast is Ashwina Anbarajanan, a blogger for Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School, linking ethnic media and public radio. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for joining us. And let's start with the city of New Haven. It's home to Yale University and essentially a pilot program that began a year ago. It's a controversial plan that gives
immigrants ID cards. What it basically does, they just celebrated their one-year anniversary of giving illegal immigrants identification cards that allow them to open bank accounts, use it as debit cards when they go to stores. It gives them a form of ID in lieu of, let's say, a driver's license that allows them to access city services. And it's designed to bring these people out of the shadows and integrate them more into the community. And of course, it's been very controversial because of that.
There have been lawsuits about the program
because one of the things when the program started, I mean, people were very shocked because how, you know, it's basically saying that despite whatever federal policy is, no matter if you don't have a green card or you're not a citizen, we're going to make you a part of our community. And what they did was they created the cards, they started handing them out, they used, ironically, the same system that the U.S. Treasury Department uses to allow illegal immigrants to pay their taxes, to give them IDs. And now, and when that happened, I mean, there was a huge uproar across the country. I mean, New Haven is a tiny little city, but across the country, people's attention was focused on it, and it was very, very controversial.
Well, how does ethnic media, that's what you're affiliated with, mm-hmm. cover both the controversy and also give people the facts and information that they need to know to act on the policy in their own interest?
Well, I think that ethnic media is media. It's journalism. It has ethics. It follows rules. I mean, I think the point is to maybe bring some more stories out there and actually cover it. I mean, when you look at the one-year anniversary of this program that's going on, didn't get a lot of coverage. But it's in place. It's doing well. It has national partners now across the country that are funding it even more. And they've expanded the program to actually target low-income minorities across the spectrum, legal or illegal, because the ID card actually helps people access credit services. It creates a virtual bank, and many low-income African-Americans, Hispanics, don't have access to credit
don't
or
have
to
banks in their communities.
Right.
You're talking about check cashing. And the goal was to hand out about roughly 5,000 of these IDs.
Right.
But it's gone to many more than those 5,000.
It's gone to about 6,500. And one of the things I question about the program is how effective is it? Because the irony of it is that, let's say, if you want to open a bank account, the card is a secondary form of ID. You still need to do certain things, you still need a driver's license or a passport, or even if it's a foreign passport, in order to access some services. But they've expanded it. It's grown to 6,500. And one of the reasons that they told me that it didn't even get bigger is because they need to make sure that the city services that these people who have the cards are accessing can support them. And they live in the city, too.
And that's certainly one strategy. That's a very different tactic, though, than 40 miles away in Danbury,
right.
Connecticut, where you have essentially some of the police officers there being deputized as federal agents. Explain that for us.
Exactly. Danbury decided to take a very different approach. They said that there is a problem with illegal immigration. There's been some crime. There's been crowded housing. We don't know how to handle this problem well. So what we're going to do is take five officers. It's a national program known as 287G, and it trains them to be federal law enforcement. I mean, federal law enforcement, immigration.
You're basically an arm of immigration
and
customs.
Which gives them the jurisdictional power to arrest
immigrants,
which is something that local police don't have.
Right. And you know, deport them and ask them, you know, if they're illegal immigrants. And it's very, very different policy than a place like New Haven, because the question is, how do you approach crime with illegal immigration? How do you approach it? I mean, do you want to have immigrants cooperate with you, or is it a question of you're not getting the information that you need, so you're going to allow people to say, you know, we're going to use this as a tool of law enforcement, that if people are committing crimes and they're illegal, we can get them out of our communities and we can deport
them. How
has
that worked? Has there been any measurement there in Danbury?
You know, I'm from Danbury. I grew up there. You haven't really, there was a huge outcry when the program came in. There were a lot of protests. But you haven't really seen any kind of misuse yet. There have been cases in other states where there's been racial profiling, and there have been abuses in the program, but that hasn't happened as of yet in Danbury.
Is there fear and vigilance on the part of the undocumented immigrants in that community about the enforcement policy?
I think so. I mean, I think that there have been advocates speaking for them who are very, very opposed to it. But at the same time, and I said this in something that I wrote about it, you can still find people, you know, it's a common occurrence from the people in the suburbs around Danbury that you can hire day laborers, you can go in. There's a thriving community. There are more businesses. There's construction. And these people are being supported by, and these businesses are being supported by illegal immigration and illegal workers who have come in and are part, you know, are part of the economy.
So even though the policies are radically different in these two communities, in fact, the way the communities are responding is maybe closer than you might think.
Oh, I don't know if I would call it closer, because, I mean, one is really trying to bring them in. It's about giving them an ID card. The other is saying that we have the option to use your immigration status against you if you commit a crime, or, and at times we can look the other way also, you know.
We're going to ask you to stick around with us, and I want you to help me with the last name here. It's Ashwini is your first name.
Ashwini Unbarajan.
Unbarajan. Thank you very much, and you're going to hang with us for a second, because right now we're going to get the headlines from Femi Oke.
Thank you very much. 20 minutes to the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.